What's going on, FA Nation? Welcome back. This is the final Fantasy Alarm NASCAR DFS podcast of the 2022 season. I'm Dan Malin, joined as always by the FSWA three-time NASCAR Writer of the Year, Matt Sells. But we also have Ed Rouse. This is probably the first time in a while the three of us have all been on, and Ed brought his very special soundboard with all kinds of effects that he'll be dropping. I'm assuming he's going to hit something soon. But guys, we have a lot to break down before we even talk about Phoenix. But Matt, Ed, I guess we can just start off with talking about Ross Chastain and the Hail Melon. What did we all think of it last week? It was spectacular.
Hell yeah!
It was amazing. My wife was coming home from work. I was on the phone with her trying to talk her through like the last 10 laps of Martinsville, and it was nuts. And then all of a sudden, I was just like, oh, my God, Chastain's in. Is he in? Yeah. And she had no idea what happened. And frankly, I don't think a lot of people could figure it out for a little while. It was nuts. I bought one of his shirts, by the way. Those are on sale.
They finally have Ross Chastain gear on the Trackhouse's website?
Well, they have a Haul the Wall shirt that's got a picture of his car going up along the wall. And it says Haul the Wall. And it's a Melon Man brand t-shirt. So, I definitely bought that one because it's insane. But, man, I don't know. Props to him playing, 2008 GameCube, and then it comes in handy 14 years later. That's insane. It's just insane.
Yeah, I didn't even know what to make of it, just watching it live. At first, I was watching it, and I was like, okay, Blaney's out. This sucks. And then I'm going, wait a minute, what is happening here? And all of a sudden, his car just shoots around everybody. I'm like, is there a spin out? What's going on? And next thing you know, he beats Hamlin at the end. I'm going, how ironic is that, by the way? And I was excited, sad, going, I was texting Cells going, what just happened? What's going on? Does this count for DraftKings? I don't even know. It was awesome. It was great to see something new and exciting. And like I told you guys, it was trending on a Sunday, on an NFL Sunday, number one over NFL, which is good for NASCAR.
So. It was the number one top play on SportsCenter's top 10.
There you
When's
go.
The last time a non-Daytona 500 like NASCAR highlight was number one or even like in the top 10?
Yeah, I don't know. I asked my wife the same time. I was like, you got to go back a ways to maybe Jimmy Johnson winning his fifth straight championship?
Yeah.
I don't know, but that's a while ago now. It was nuts.
That wasn't as exciting, to be honest. Sorry, Jimmy Johnson's bad.
I've had multiple people who don't normally talk NASCAR to me ask about the move. Like, my uncle texted me today, 4 days after it happened. And he was like, so what do you think of Chastain's move at Martinsville? Like, I loved it. It's racing. He figured out a way to go faster than everybody else without affecting anybody else's speed. So congrats to him on that one. But it's a great week for NASCAR. It bugs me that the drivers want it banned because this is how you grow the sport. And if you think it's a nuts move, don't do it in dirt racing. Dirt guys do it all the time. They go to the outer parts of the track and slide through the corner. Like, the fact that Larson said I'm embarrassed by it. Like, I hate myself now that I did it last year. Like,
he's got to change that diaper, man. Like,
yeah, bro, yeah.
Catholic, like, come on.
Hold on, I got a button for Larson.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
No.
Yeah, like, you hate yourself now? What is this? Come on.
Yeah, no, that was pathetic. He ever since he got dropped out of the playoffs, he's just been.
He's turned into Denny Hamlin, who actually didn't whine about it, which was crazy. Like, what? Like, he was the guy that could have whined, but didn't. And look, I would take that finish over the Xfinity finish any day of the
week. Oh,
for sure. Yeah, that was crap.
Like,
I wasn't sure if we were going to get any time on that, but
we're going to spend time on that.
I was just dumbfounded, and sure, I was having like a really good DFS day because I was heavy on Jones, and I did like Jones and Gibbs stacks, and I'm like, this is gonna hold and I'm gonna have a great day. And I don't understand how there's not like a pre-race meeting, or there's no way to convey to Ty, like, hey, it's important to get two cars for our team in the Xfinity Championship. Like, it increases our odds of winning the championship. It's more money and revenue that comes to the team, not like they necessarily need it. But it's just everything from top to bottom of how Ty Gibbs handled that was piss poor.
Yep.
Because you intentionally wreck a teammate. Brandon Jones handled it with absolute class. I would love to see him dump Gibbs at Phoenix so he doesn't win the championship as like a parting gift and just give JRM the Xfinity Series championship. Ooh. Jones isn't going to do that. I think he's too much of a little bit of a class act to really interfere in the championship race. So it's a big bummer. But then for Ty Gibbs to go on SiriusXM NASCAR radio and compare himself to Jesus.
Yeah.
I don't
he's the Kanye West of NASCAR right now.
God,
right?
He's just completely tone deaf, completely out of touch. Everybody hates him. Somebody is selling "Thank You, Grandpa" T-shirts, which is what they were chanting at him during his victory lane, like photos and celebration and all that. He had to get a security escort off the track.
Yep.
Because I don't know if they were worried about him being attacked. Probably not. I mean, maybe someone throwing a hot dog at him. It is Martinsville. But the way he handled it, everything, was just, you know, we keep talking about, well, Ty's young and he's got to learn. But he keeps doing this crap, and it's getting very tiresome, and it's not going to fly on Sundays.
I love the fan that showed up dressed as Jesus on Sunday with a sign that said looking for Ty Gibbs, and he found him and stood next to his cup car on the grid. I thought that was hilarious. And two, I saw a tweet this weekend that said, mistake one, I'm learning, I'll get better. Mistake two, I'm learning, I'll get better. Mistake three, I'm learning, I'll get better. Mistake four, fuck it, I'm Jesus. Like, I didn't mean to cuss, I'm just saying that was a direct quote of the tweet. But, like, how do you go on and at 19 years old or whatever the heck he is, compare yourself to Jesus when you, I don't know. And the best comment below the SiriusXM NASCAR tweet was, somebody saying, I remember the story of Jesus turning water into wine, not turning his teammate into the fence. that's hilarious, too. Like, now you've got good old-fashioned Christians talking NASCAR, and it's like, this is not going to go well for you there, Ty Gibbs. I don't get it. Somebody should have told him, look, you just stay in second place, you make the title, and Brandon Jones makes it, and then we get two cars in. And that's highly important for Toyota and for Joe
Gibbs. That's a team and an organization that's just going into the crapper right now. Because they're losing Kyle Busch Motorsports since he's moving over to RCR, and it's going to become a Chevy team. And so, like, I guess the consolation for the Truck Series is they're getting DGR, and they do have some good drivers on that team. They're changing their name. I don't know it off the top of my head. But at the same time, like, you know, they're losing Brandon Jones and Ty Gibbs in the Xfinity Series. Do they
shrink? And they're losing Kyle Busch in the Cup Series.
Yeah. And, I mean, if you're just looking at just pure talent and what's coming down the pipeline for the future of Toyota, it's not looking great, especially when you have Martin Truex Jr. and Denny Hamlin that are getting older. You do have Christopher Bell contending for a championship, and we'll talk about him at some point in great length on this podcast. But, like,
just... I mean, they do add Tyler Reddick. They swapped Kyle Busch for Tyler Reddick. But they also lose Kurt Busch. So there is that. But, yeah, that's just a super bad look for Ty Gibbs. And then you get out and you're like Roger Goodell and bring on the booze? Like, it's...
Oh, if there's no fence there separating him from the crowd, he's not doing that.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, 100%.
Like, that's... He's ready for the Cup Series? Kind of kid.
Do we want him in the Cup Series next year?
Well, Ross Chastain does. It'll take some heat off him.
But I don't even think they're close. What Ross did this year is not even close to what this kid is doing. This kid is just, he's the bad boy. It's like he's a WWE guy out there racing. Like,
he's a heel. Comes naturally to him.
Kyle Petty put it perfectly, and he stated it, I'm paraphrasing here, but he's a kid that's never had to earn anything, that's been given everything, and thinks that he deserves everything, and that's not how you go about racing.
He's that kid you hate in every movie. That's what he is.
His granddad, like, props to his dad, Coy, who's a exec in the, you know, JGR camp, saying,
Did you see Denny's tweet about it, though? Like, Denny just tweets out, I miss JD.
Yeah, like, well, okay, but... Danny, you also dumped the bejesus out of Chase 2 years ago at Martinsville. I mean, it wasn't a teammate, but you pulled the same move. Yeah. So while Ties is worse because it was a teammate that was, you know, stealing a spot from your teammate in the title, it was still the same move. So it was like, you know, maybe they're just teaching that move at JGR. I don't know. But I did like Gragson walking behind
Jones's
interview.
Just talk about like the overall like character arc of Noah Gragson, because you could have made the argument like a year or two ago he was what Ty Gibbs is now.
Yeah,
like he was not a very well liked driver. He was the young, cocky, kind of entitled driver, but just really kind of turned everything around. Now he's just kind of endeared himself to fans. He's won like 8 races this year. If he doesn't win the Xfinity Series Championship, I will be a little upset.
I'd be surprised, to be honest. He should.
He should. He's by far been the best driver and most consistent. Well, I can't say.
Well,
most consistent.
We all know that Ty's getting dumped.
I hope so.
Like, it's basically because Brendan Jones is going to JRM next year.
So yeah.
Basically, like, there's 4 JRM drivers in this 5 because there's still another. They have 4 cars, but 3 of them are in.
Do you think that the 19 is going to be competitive this week for Xfinity?
He's going to be competitive enough to get to Ty's bumper and take him out, and then he doesn't care.
He's going to be there.
I mean, so Gragson may take out Ty Gibbs.
No, I think he's... I don't think he would.
I think he will.
He's going for the championship. He's not going to...
There are ways in which you can take
out... I mean, if you think...
Yeah, I know, but I think...
Wait, last year's Xfinity Series Championship ended. It was just like, you know, Hemric and Cindric just ended up on the front row together, and they just bumped each other for the last couple of laps. Actually, I think Cindric was mostly leading it, but then Hemric just bumped him out of the way, and he led one lap of that race.
Turn 4.
What's that?
They said Hemric did a full send and passed him in turn 4
of the
last lap. But I think Gragson takes the beat his ass comment that he made and actually does it and say, welcome to the Cup Series because you and I are rookies and this ain't going any farther.
I gotta do it.
Let's get it on.
Yeah.
There you go. So I would much rather have Ross Chastain's move as a bunch of drivers complained about it. I would much rather have that than...
But he didn't dump anybody.
No, he didn't even touch anybody.
It was the perfect...
Didn't put anybody in harm's way. And like,
yeah, except himself, leaves. Really.
Really, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess, like, all right, so let's get to one last bit, because we mentioned it, but we have to give credit to Christopher Bell.
Yes.
Because in...
Oh, yeah.
2 walk-off wins in the playoffs to move on to the next round, needed to win on 2 separate occasions, and he did. The Roval probably didn't have like the greatest car, but he still, you know, played on strategy, had the track position, and ultimately won the race to move on. This week had a very competitive car, started P20, worked his way up through the field throughout the race, led the laps that mattered, and, you know, wins and locks up his spot in the championship race. So a very clutch and very impressive performance from Christopher Bell, who in my mind should be the favorite because he's just been very good on the last, I think, 2 or 3 short flat tracks, and that's exactly what Phoenix is.
So I think heading into this weekend, Ross Chastain is actually the favorite on the sports books that I've seen.
Really? Because I've seen him at 3-1, but I've seen Chase at 2-1.
Elliott's the favorite at DraftKings at +230, Bell 300, and then Chastain, Logano splitting the 400.
Okay, so maybe it switched because the early lines had the first one I saw from Wynn, maybe, or Caesars, had Chastain as the favorite, which made sense because he did run Phoenix very well.
They're all really close, though, all those. Like, I could probably shop and probably find a place that has Chastain favored or Bell favored because that's pretty close. Like last year, Larson was, like, +100.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, so this is actually a lot closer than it's been for a while.
Yeah, and, I mean, statistically speaking, Bell has been very good at short flat tracks this year in terms of if we're comparing like the 9 that they've run, including at Martinsville. They're all very close. So Bell has an average finish of 11.3. Elliott is at 11.1. Logano is at 9.4. And Chastain is at 9.3. So
it's all over the place.
Close on 9 out of 9 races. Unfortunately, Ralph, your boy is leading the way at 6.3 for an average finish.
You gotta bring that up right now.
I'm sorry, man.
Hold on. Hold on. One time. This is for Ryan Blaney.
No!
Okay. We're done with that.
You should have had Leclerc's no from when he was leading like at the Spanish GP earlier this year and his car blew up. But yeah, so it's very close. Props to Bell for winning the race he had to on a track that had literally no passing. Like,
yeah, we talked about that last week. The passing was...
There were 675 green flag passes in that entire race on Sunday.
That's insane.
That's like 1.25 a lap. So the first 480 laps of that race were terrible. And the last 20 laps were insane. But now we get the turn to Phoenix. And we'll hope for a pretty good Phoenix race. I don't have a whole lot of hope for it. I'd much rather it be back at Homestead, but
well, yeah, we need to get rid of Phoenix for the championship now, right?
I don't mind it. I don't know. I would prefer Homestead. I don't hate Phoenix though. But two quick notes: some news that broke today and earlier this week. Parker Kligerman. Getting a full-time Xfinity Series ride. Good for him. He's running the part-time truck series right this year and last year with Henderson Motorsports. Did get a win at Mid-Ohio earlier this year, and he landed in a full-time ride for Xfinity. A pretty good car with a big machine. He'll be in the 48 full-time next year. Well-earned. And Jimmy Johnson will be getting himself ownership stake in Petty GMS. And he will be running a few races next year on a part-time schedule. So good to have 48. Well, he's not going to be in the 48. But, you know, good to have Jimmy Johnson back.
No, but it is fitting, though, because apparently he ran the 44 car in the Xfinity Series early in his career. And Petty GMS has the 42 and the 43. So 42, 43, 44, that works. But, yeah.
He just needs that 45, 46, and 47.
Well, he can't get 45.
Speaking of the 47, congrats to him for getting married. Well, he used to be in the 47. He's not in the 47 anymore. It's 37, right? No, Stenhouse is still 47. I can't keep this straight. Like,
Stenhouse 47.
But yeah, Ricky Stenhouse got married.
Right, yeah, he got married.
Oh.
So congrats. Congrats.
Did he wreck the wedding?
there were some NASCAR guys there.
Did he crash the wedding?
Did he?
Hold on.
Wedding crasher.
Yeah.
Somebody take the soundboard away from Ralph. So congrats to him. But yeah, it's great having JJ back in NASCAR. That'll be awesome. His knowledge base is certainly should help Petty GMS get some better runs going forward there. Any other news and notes we had this week?
Nah, I think we can just dive into Phoenix. Pretty big weekend.
I mean, Alex Bowman's back. But that was, like, it was kind of talked about before Martinsville. But
and Tyler Reddick's coming back this weekend, too. Or he's been cleared, at least.
He was cleared
earlier
on Wednesday. So we get Reddick back. We get Alex Bowman back in the 48, which is his home track. Also allows Gragson to only have to concentrate on the Xfinity race. So yeah, kind of a win for everybody there.
All right, let's talk Phoenix. The schedule is out. Practice and qualifying for all three series this weekend, even for Arca Menards. I got a bone to pick with NASCAR because it's the championship race for the Camping World Truck Series. Practice is at 8:05 p.m. Eastern time on Thursday, and it's not on TV. Can't stream it, can't figure out any way to watch it other than to just get updates from Jeff Gluck, Bob Pockris, wait for their practice results.
College football, killing it.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer. I wouldn't even hate it if it was just streaming on Fox Sports Go, but to each their own. So practice is Thursday night for the trucks. Qualifying is 6 p.m. Eastern time for the trucks on Friday. That's going to be tough because I'm probably going to be driving home around that time. I don't know if I'm going to be able to offer updates in red like I do normally for those playbooks. The race is at 10 p.m. Eastern time Friday night.
My goodness.
That is a late one. I'm pretty sure that's the latest a race has started for the trucks this year. Or
not for me, though. Not for me.
It's going to be 7.
7 o'clock my time, baby. I'll be there with a beer.
So yeah, going to be a late race Friday, so I won't have updates to the playbook. I will be in Discord probably from 8 p.m. up until 10 p.m. just finishing my lineups, and I will gladly help out answering questions. I do apologize. I just don't anticipate that I'm going to have any updates for the playbook. Xfinity practice is 7 p.m. Friday night. They qualify at 2:30 p.m. Eastern time on Saturday, which means it's 11:30 a.m. in the morning, and they race at 3 p.m. Eastern time in Phoenix. So the track conditions might be a little bit different. Is it 3 p.m. or 4 p.m., Ed?
3 p.m.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know your time zones.
Until Sunday.
What's that?
Until Sunday, when Arizona does not flip.
Oh, yeah, right.
Is daylight savings this weekend?
Yeah, it is. Yes. It's on Saturday, so it changes on Sunday for the Cup.
It's overnight between Saturday and Sunday morning, and Arizona does not follow daylight savings.
It's about time. I'm up at like 6 a.m. and it's still dark outside. I'm like, come on.
So they're literally going to be in a different time zone on Sunday than they were on Saturday.
Yep. You know. Congrats. Yep.
So Saturday, qualifying in the afternoon. The race is later on. And then Sunday, the NASCAR Cup Series Championship. It's hard to believe we've made it this far.
Sad.
Say it every damn year that we do this podcast, and it's like a marathon. But yeah, we made it to the championship, and we'll be back on in about 13 to 14 weeks with another podcast.
Pretty sure the Clash is February 5th.
We will be back in 12 weeks for another podcast then. But with that said, I guess we can just start breaking down. I don't think we need to talk or give picks or winners for truck or Xfinity series. I know it's championships, but
do not play Ty Gibbs. He's going to get dumped.
Noah's going to win it.
One can
put
only
money on the board right there. DraftKings.
To no surprise, the top four drivers in the driver pool on DraftKings, and I believe FanDuel, Chase Elliott, Christopher Bell, Joey Logano, Ross Chastain. I don't know. Do we need analysis? I know we talked about Bell on short flat tracks. I don't know how much exposure I want to Chase Elliott. I haven't necessarily liked the recent form. Yeah, my two favorite drivers are probably going to be Bell and Chastain, but I know that Penske can set their cars up pretty well for short flats.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'd probably go Chastain, maybe one, Bell two, Logano three, Chase four for DFS.
That's so crazy, man. Chase dominated all year, too. It's just,
well,
he hasn't looked good this whole playoffs.
He didn't dominate. In fact,
he's number one in points. He didn't dominate, but
if Chase Elliott does not lead 137 or 143 laps at Phoenix, he won't crack 1,000 laps led. This would be the first year where no driver cracks 1,000 laps led since 1960. So he hasn't dominated. It's not like Harvick's 10-win season where he led like...
Or even last year, like, too. Larson dominated last year. Like,
right. Chase has been, like, on the intermediates, Chase has a terrible average finish. He's pretty good at short flats. But, like, if we sort it by, let's see, over 9 short flat type tracks this year, Chase does have 52.7 laps led on average per race. But like,
does this feel like a year where one of these four playoff drivers aren't going to win this race?
It's possible.
It just feels like it.
We
don't know.
We haven't had that many playoff drivers win races in the playoffs, right?
Exactly. I just feel like it's going to be like last week, right? Where one of these guys is going to win the championship and like Kevin Harvick will win the race or something. It's like, what? It's like,
we'll get to Harvick like shortly.
That. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It just feels like
definitely consistently in the top 10 here
since 2013.
You could literally parlay the championship winner and the race winner and probably win some money this week. Like, that's crazy.
Probably don't parlay top 10 finishes though. You won't make anything now. Cause thanks to
sportsbooks
killed the top 10 NASCAR parlays. It sucks.
So shout out to all those who won those.
Is it safe to assume that Elliott, Bell, Logano, Chastain, probably in a GPP tournament format, are all going to garner at least 20 to 25% exposure?
Yes. Yeah, probably.
Or the lowest one being Logano, I think.
Unless somebody...
It does seem like everybody is off Logano this week, but I also feel like we should just keep in mind that Logano just has that ability to go out and just surprise you with the win. He did it Bristol Dirt the first year. He did it at the Coliseum. He did it when the Cup Series went to Gateway earlier this year, which is also a flatter track. He's won at Phoenix before. I don't really want our subscribers, at least, to sleep on Joey Logano, because he is a guy that if everyone predicts him to be the worst of the four, if he's this wet blanket of the group, then I may just go there for leverage.
All right, here's my bold prediction. Right now, let's do it right now. Joey Logano wins the championship.
See, but
doesn't win the race.
I hate the call because your boy's car was so fast here when they ran here in the spring, and it's like, what if they just take notes and just go with the similar setup and they just give him the fastest car in the field?
I have a feeling he's going to win the whole thing.
If there's been a fast setup for Fords this year, it's been the short flat tracks. Like, that's where Ford has shined. By the way, touching back on Chase Elliott, he did score a nice total points in DK the last time they were at Phoenix. He was $11,000 here back in March. Started 19th, finished 11th, had 36 fastest laps.
Yeah.
Laps away for 69 points.
Nice.
And I have to ask real quick. So the four racers, right? So
yes.
Elliott's been really good, like you said.
Yes.
Do they all qualify the top four in the championship, or do they have to actually qualify at a spot?
They run qualifying just like... Okay. Now, the last few years, they had put them in the top four because there was no qualifying, and so they just wanted the championship four to be unabated at the start of the race. But now they're going to run actual qualifying. So if somebody screws up, that'll put them... And also to clarify, because I saw some questions on Twitter and Discord about this, stage points do not matter in the championship hunt this week. It's whichever of the championship four finishes ahead of the other ones. They do not have to win. If all four wreck out and they finish 33rd through 36th, whoever finishes 33rd of the championship four would win. That's not going to happen. It's taken a win to win the championship basically every year since they've gone to it.
Until this year, I'm telling you, until this year.
It probably takes a win again this year, but there's a shot that somebody wins this race and, like, a championship four driver finishes second or third and wins the championship. It's possible. I don't dislike the leverage play on Logano this week. Because people are going to go back to what he did in the spring here, which was started 10th, finished 8th, 3 fastest laps, 4 laps led, 40 points at 10-1. People are going to go, well, if he does that again, that's not really worth it in DFS, right? But I don't think he's going to do that. I think he's going to...
But look what Blaney did. Started on the pole, finished 4th, 143 laps led, and 52 fastest laps. Just give him that setup.
Right. And then hope Logano can drive
duplicate it.
All right. What if I blew you guys' mind right now? What if Blaney wins this race?
Oh, Jesus.
And Logano wins the championship?
You're going to be so bitter.
Parlay. I'd be pissed.
He's going to be crying into his beer is what's going to happen.
tears for beers, baby.
It's going to be like that famous TikTok thing where the chick is trying to dance and she's crying and she's still trying. That's going to be Rouse on Sunday. That
it's going to be something, man. It's going to be something.
Two meaningless wins in the season. One, the All-Star race, and then winning.
But if Lenny does win, it'll be the most wins by drivers in a season history.
Right. 20 different... It'll be the 20th
the different wins. And it'd be the first time a champion hasn't won the final race.
Yes, as far as I can remember, that would be correct.
So it would be a crazy ending to a crazy season, and I would love it. I love chaos. I love it.
It would be. What do we think about the two guys coming back from injury?
Cheat.
Reddick and Bowman.
I mean, Bowman has the home track narrative.
Right.
But he's overall been pretty craptastic this year. I haven't really.
Not been great.
I mean, yeah.
I haven't really loved
it. Although, aside from the beginning of the playoffs when he had that I'm not the test car anymore statement, and then
good at the thought that was Byron.
Was it Byron?
Or was it Bowman? Byron that said that.
Maybe it was Byron.
Yeah, because Byron had two wins, basically locked himself into the playoffs. Right. Yes. And he became the guinea pig. I mean, I'll play Reddick. It's awfully hard to avoid Reddick. I'm trying to see what he did. I mean, he started 12th here in the spring, finished third, had 15 fastest laps. Early on in the year, I think a lot of people may have forgotten just how fast that car was. And it kind of panned out as we got into like April and May. But then he, you know, obviously started rattling off wins, Road America, then Indy, and then he won Texas.
He's had a tendency to wreck out a lot lately.
Well, yes, but I mean, he did get like pretty hurt in one of those.
That's recent. I'm saying like the last like 15 I'm seeing here. He's wrecked out a lot. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven of his last 15.
Okay, so Kansas, his tire blew.
All right.
Right. Then the next one is Bristol, which I think he got caught up in. So, I don't know. He did wreck Bristol. Out of that one.
It's Bristol.
He's that's wrecked out a lot. I mean, I still love him because I love him as a driver. Baby Dave. I think he's one of the most talented drivers in the series.
He had the issue at Homestead too, right? His tire went like it wasn't necessarily his doing.
Yes, I do remember that. I think he cut a tire or something, which ruined the days of several people.
And then
But again, he's like this is a driver who should be over 9,500, maybe 10K, and he's 89.
Correct. He's sitting at 89, yeah.
Yeah, he was pretty fast at Phoenix earlier this year. So
the problem is, I don't know how much exposure I'm going to land on Reddick if I'm trying to fit, because I think a lot of people try to fit two dominators in their build, thinking that they'll get two of the four championship drivers to dominate the race. Personally, I don't hate targeting one championship driver and then Kyle Larson, because Kyle Larson is Hendrick Motorsports like representative for the owner's championship. And so there's still plenty of motivation for him to win the race. And he's finished, you know, he finished second last week. He won, you know, Miami. The car has been fast.
148 points in Miami, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, he was dominant and he looked great in this race a year ago. And so like, Kyle Larson is, I think, a guy that a lot of people could just gloss over because he's like, you know, he's not a championship driver. Maybe a lot of people try to spend up to squeeze in two championship drivers. But I think a nice pivot off that would just be get Kyle Larson in there, because I want to say it was Nick Giffen, RotoDoc, who said that the best financial outcome for Hendrick is for Kyle Larson to win the race and Chase Elliott to finish second, so Elliott can win the driver's championship. And they still get plenty of revenue to come in. So I thought that was actually kind of an interesting breakdown the way he phrased it. But
yeah,
for
also,
me, go
given
ahead.
That Jeff Gordon went on record a few weeks ago and said that Hendrick Motorsports is losing has lost money each of the last like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
So that is a valid point.
So I mean, if you want to get different and find a way to be contrarian, like sure. The driver that wins the championship is probably the driver that wins this race. But
I'm telling you right now, it's going to happen.
Oh, God. I'm telling you, don't sleep on Kyle Larson. But let's round it out with other teams that are historically good at short flags. We have JGR and Penske. I am interested to see where we are falling on drivers like Denny Hamlin, Martin Truex, Kyle Busch, Ryan Blaney. Do we think JGR is going to give Kyle Busch a good car this week? Because it was not good last week.
Oh, man.
No.
All playoffs.
I don't. They have no incentive to do that. Right? Like,
no, like, opportunity to give him a good send-off in his final race with JGR? M&M's final race on the car? I mean, you're shrugging, but I'm not necessarily arguing
with playoffs.
You. Yeah.
They haven't given him a good car basically all playoffs.
Yeah, it's been trash.
Yeah, so, and his crew chief is still suspended. Mm-hmm. So,
is Hamlin really the only other JGR driver outside of Bell that you're entertaining?
Probably.
But okay, there's a narrative here though with that, because now Hamlin's officially out, and Chastain is in.
He's
not gonna wreck Chastain when Ross is contending for
his champion. His comments after Martinsville make me think that he's buried the
hat. It was like a tip of the cap to Chastain.
That it was hard racing. He beat me fair and square. Hamlin's not gonna turn that much of a heel to ruin a championship race for a guy who's in it.
Yeah.
Because had Chastain wrecked him to get into the championship,
It'd be different.
Like if Chastain had pulled a Ty Gibbs, obviously, you know, different teammates or whatever, but that'd be different. But the fact that he was speechless and classy after Chastain beat him with that move, I don't think Hamlin does that. I think Hamlin just wants to run a solid race and finish a good year.
Say for Hamlin for 9,900. And how consistent he's been for a little bit now. It's not a bad price. It's probably contrarian.
I mean, I would much rather have Hamlin at 9,900 than Truex at 95 or Kyle Busch at 93.
Yeah, 100%.
Is there anybody over 9K that we haven't talked about yet that you're interested in? Or
Byron, maybe?
I mean,
I don't know.
The finishes are there.
Right, he's not the dominating laps led.
But it's like, I don't think he wants to get in Chase's way for the Drivers' Championship, and I don't think he wants to get in Larson's way for the Owners' Championship. He understands the importance and how the race is more important for those two. So I don't really know if I'm, like, Bowman has the hometown narrative, and sure, if they offer PD, sure, I'll be all over it because they're great DFS plays from the perspective that, you know, they still want a good finish and they can move up through the field. But if these two are qualifying in, like, pretty well, I don't really have much interest in them because they want to stay out of their teammates' way.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that logic.
But on the other end of the spectrum, I think that a team that you could look at is SHR, and everyone's going to be all over Kevin Harvick because they know the top 10 upside and just the safety net that's there with him. Very good cash play this week, regardless of where he starts. I don't care if he's qualifying inside the top 10 or inside the top 5. Like he's just a very safe play, and one that should be probably over 60% owned in cash games.
Yeah, we all thought SHR sucked to start the year. Harvick started 16th, finished 6th, and put up 20 fastest laps here.
And Briscoe won.
They had no speed.
Yeah.
And he was more expensive then than he is now.
Yeah. Are you okay getting exposure to Chase Briscoe, who won this race, led over 100 laps, doesn't have to worry about getting in any teammates' way? He could legitimately just go out and try to race for the win.
I have two SHR drivers in a lineup I just built.
Yeah, and Almirola is probably one of them.
Neither one of them is perfect.
One of them is Eric Jones.
Briscoe and Almirola.
No.
You put Custer in there?
I needed a cheap guy, and he ran well here in March.
Okay,
and honestly, he was actually great in Martinsville.
Smoke weed every day.
Oh God!
There you go.
Listen,
Custer, get out of here. We talked about Custer.
I got Chastain. I got Larson. I got Blaney. And then I got Briscoe.
Briscoe's in 9.
Then I filled it out with Haley and Custer.
I don't hate Haley. I'm sure we'll talk about him as a value.
His average finish is better than 17th on short flat tracks this year.
That's perfectly fine. And if you look at what he did last week in Martinsville, he was basically running in the top 10. At times, he was running top 5. I don't know. I can't remember what happened to him at Martinsville. Another short flat track.
Custer faded late. Like, that's what he does at short flat. He starts well, and then you
have because he stayed it out with Briscoe. And so he was on older tires.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, could I fit Almirola? Maybe, but I'm going to have to lose both Haley and Custer, and I don't know if I want to go dumpster diving to get Almirola in there.
You could just play Todd Gilliland, man. Got a top 15.
Yeah, Todd Father, baby. Let's go.
I mean, maybe.
4,800 last week, and he returned 36 points.
That's right.
I mean, fair enough, but let's see if I can fit him, because I got 5,000. I cannot get Todd Gilliland by $100. Thank you very much.
All right, now we go to Cody Ware.
I'm sticking with Haley and Custer, thank you very much. I didn't say this was a cash play. Not a cash play, but there you go. So I have two SHR guys in my lineup.
It's so weird because you can make an argument for every SHR driver this week, and you have to at least like the fact that they don't have they have nothing to lose. So it's like they don't need to worry about trying to cater to another driver's like championship needs or something. You know, these are just four drivers that can go out and race. And I know SHR has not announced officially what's going on with the 41 car next year, right?
Correct. There's an internal fight between Gene Haas and Tony Stewart. One of them wants Cole Custer to stay. The other one wants
Riley Herbst.
I think maybe there's a lower tier driver either in Xfinity or truck that one of them is arguing should get the seat over Custer, but they're
Haley Deegan.
not Deegan.
It's gonna happen eventually.
I'm trying to think who's in a Ford and trucks. Zane Smith.
Let me see if I can quickly, because I saw a report on this.
Zane Smith, maybe. That'd be a good one. That would be bold.
It'd be bold, but probably a good one.
He did race in the Cup. In the
yeah, he did one. I think he had a top. He definitely had a top 20. I think he may have had a top 15 too. What was it? St. Louis track? We were just Gateway.
Gateway.
I think that's the race he ran.
I'm trying to see if I can find the tweet so we can move on to other.
It's fine. If you find it, great. I think we can just briefly just move on for the sake of not having dead air.
Yeah.
Hold on. I could just play some things on my board.
I think we'll be okay. Heading into the sub 8K range, we have Austin Cindric, who is with Team Penske. Good team for short flat tracks. AJ Allmendinger at only 7,700. Feel like that should be a little more expensive, although if you look at his DraftKings profile and you don't follow NASCAR DFS, you're going to see a lot of really strong top 10s, but those are all at road courses, it feels like. Although he did finish third at Miami, which completely went over my head. Damn good for him.
Oh,
wait, I thought the Dinger Ryan had a good Preece. Phoenix. Hold on.
Oh, that makes sense, actually.
Because he's the reserve driver.
He is the reserve driver. Yeah, that's a good call.
He put up 32 points in Phoenix last time.
He's been in the simulator all year with their setups in their cars. So there's a debate between Gene Haas, the people that write the checks, whether it should be.
I think it should be Ryan Preece, but I don't write
I think
the
it
checks.
Should be Preece too. But
yeah. But anyway, so we'll dip into. I guess we're heading into this mid range to value tier. Austin Cindric, AJ Allmendinger, Austin Dillon, Bubba, who's been very good of late.
That 45 car is fast no matter who the heck drives it. Like John Hunter top 10 had the fastest practice times in it when he filled in for Bubba at Homestead.
You know, I didn't even notice Bubba finished 7th at the Roval.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he straight top 10 road courses.
He hates road courses.
He does.
All right. Well, we're heading into this tier. Almirola is going to stand out and be a popular play. Everybody by now knows how good he is on short flat tracks. Yeah. Brad Keselowski has been fast. He has back-to-back top five finishes. Did get disqualified last week, but you know he started 6th, finished 5th. I think a lot of people, and what we need to remember about Martinsville for next year is that really it's all of like we should not be afraid to start these value plays that are starting inside the top 10. Because
I debated that when I was writing the playbook. I had him in there, and then I took him out, and then I had him there.
It's just so likely, like, because it's in my opinion, unless you have an issue on pit road or just a ton of penalties, it's a low-variant short track. So if you're starting high and you're cheap, just hang in there for the first two stages. Let all the back markers and other drivers fall multiple laps down. As long as you can stay in the hunt, not lose a lap, not have any mistakes, you know, you can just return value by holding your position and just finishing in the top 10. And each year for Martinsville, we just see like these drivers. And this does kind of apply to Phoenix because it's only a 1 mile track. It's flat. There's a ton of laps.
It's reasonably tricky to pass even with the dog leg.
Yeah, and so this is a track where you should not be afraid to, you know, start some value plays that really qualify well, and rant. But who do we like in this sub 8K to, I guess we'll call it the, let's go to 6,500 to 8K, because I like cutting it off with Michael McDowell because he's so good for a top 10, even though he hasn't done it in a while.
Who are you looking at here, Russ?
Obviously, I like Keselowski this week.
Yeah.
He's already in my lineup here.
You rag on me last week for stating your boy Keselowski, and then the first guy you talk about is Bradley, in this, and then your boy Keselowski.
In this tier. just look at the consistency and
the DFS output, well, the is so good. Running.
Yeah. He's probably be a little popular probably too, but
yeah.
Just the points. Like, he's like almost guaranteed. Like, I think he's five times. He's been guaranteed five times the last four races.
And it looks like six of his last seven races, he's put up at least 34 yeah. points. And in five of those races, he's gone over 40 points.
So I like him a lot in that tier. Let's see. That's a little lower, but we'll get to the top father later. Amarola, of course. Bubba Wallace, I mean, yeah. But is he going to walk out and start pushing people around? We don't know. But he has been good. And then that, nope, not doing it. Oh, wait, he's the cutoff. Stenhouse is 6,400, so.
I'm not
well,
playing.
McDowell's a cutoff.
Yeah, I was going to say 6,400 to the cutoff. But, yeah, Stenhouse, I mean, he's the ultimate GPP play of all time in NASCAR.
I'm not playing Stenhouse.
Yeah. Well, in a GPP, you probably want to throw him in one lineup because he could get that 40 points or he'll get that negative two.
Really depends on where he starts.
Yeah, qualifying is going to matter for him. But
I played him a lot last week, and I played him a lot with the mindset like, well, he's starting 31st. I wouldn't hate it if he just finished 20th to 25th because he was 5,900.
Yeah.
And he finished 23rd, which is basically what I wanted. But at the end of the race, when I'm looking at my lineups and I see and I'm trying to find guys that I think can move up and get more points, and I'm looking at Ricky Stenhouse sitting 23rd, but I'm like, oh, well, he's two laps down and he can't really gain another lap yet to get up on the guys that are one lap down. And so that is like one of the more frustrating things about when you're following your lineups live at Martinsville or Bristol is like just knowing you have guys down that can't like increase their ceiling.
Yeah, that sucks. That's what the short tracks kill me in DraftKings when there's like four laps down. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, because they can't make it up.
Yeah. No, yeah, there's
I
no
just
passing.
Don't like the narrative for Stenhouse this week. Like, he's not done well on these shorter, flatter tracks, right? In nine races, he's got top 20s this year.
He just got married, dude. He's ready to go.
Yeah, so he's on vacation mode.
Man, I don't know if the married narrative carries as much weight as the new dad narrative.
No, he wants to peace out, man. Like, he's got nothing left to race for. He already knows he's got the ride next year. He's not trying to
say if I play him in a GPP lineup that hits and he's 2% owned and gets 40 points. It's possible. It's NASCAR.
I mean,
I'm not saying everybody out there, FA Nation, don't play him in all your lineups or cash games. But just
no, because he wants him at 2%. GPP. So if you play him, it's not going to be 2%.
It'll be me. It'll be Rouse 24-19. Well, the only one that has Stenhouse in his
lineup. Okay. He was a free square in March. He started 36th. He got to 28th, and that was it. No fast laps, no laps led. He was $8,400, and he put up 22 points.
So can we just kind of agree that we hope he qualifies poorly and he becomes chalk for everyone else except us?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can take that, too. Then I won't play him. But if you... Yeah, okay.
Any interest in Chris Buescher? Hasn't looked... he's done okay lately. He was 13th at Miami, but he started 8th. 15th.
Off 10 in March.
Exactly, and he started 26th for that race, too. And he's about the same price tag as he was in March.
And if our argument is we like Keselowski because...
Then we have to like Buescher, too.
You got to like Buescher because they're in the same car.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys are killing me with my lineup right now.
Why?
Because we keep talking about good guys, and he doesn't want to swap guys out. He had a lineup, and he doesn't want to rebuild it. That's why...
I'm lazy right now.
I
really liked it with... my Larson Keselowski stack. But
I don't know what to do with McDowell this week either. Because technically, he's got the home track narrative too.
Okay, does the home track narrative work?
No.
Historically, no. Yeah, Brad Keselowski would love to win Michigan.
Yeah,
insert, would definitely... insert blank here narrative. Never works for any sport, for any fantasy ever. My old team, revenge game narrative. Never works. Home track, never works.
Bah. Birthday narrative does.
Does it?
Does it really?
In baseball, yeah, there's...
Oh, dude, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, hitting home runs on your birthday is like...
Yeah, like, I think Nomar Garcia-Pirro once hit 3 home runs on his birthday.
Cool. And you know how many birthdays there are every baseball season, all 162 games?
There's a lot.
Yeah. Do they all hit home runs on their birthday?
Not everybody's capable, no.
Oh, I wonder what percentage.
I don't know. Mike Trout, it's a bunch.
Okay. All right. Move on.
I don't know. I could probably skip McDowell. He hasn't been all that great.
Do you prefer Justin Haley, even though, you know, his run of, like, top 20, top 15s, hell, he even had, like, a stretch of, like, some top fives at Texas and the Roval, but he's finished 28th in the last two races. Are we still okay going here for value?
I think so. I mean, he's posted 3 top 20s in 9 short flat tracks this year. He ran, I believe, 17th.
I also feel like when they practiced here in the spring, there was the Colic Racing rocket ship narrative. And everyone was just oogling and ogling about how fast Colic and Justin Haley were to start the year. And he did start 28th and he finished 17th here in the spring. And he's getting the exact same price tag.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't want to go straight off of what happened in March because obviously...
No. We can't do that with every driver. And we've mentioned it.
But enough. He's done well enough, A, in the playoff races and B, on short flat tracks that if he gets you a top 20, great. You're crushing value at this point. And how many people down this far in the list are we really that confident that can get you a top 20?
Todd Father. He's in my lineup.
I mean, Todd did finish 19th here in this ring.
Right. Todd Father has done nothing but win me money this year. He's in my last lineup of the
I'm
season.
I'm not insulting him. I'm just saying that's two dudes under 7K that we're confident in.
That's true.
Right? Like, I'm not playing Ty Gibbs. That guy's going to get a rip-ass awakening in the Cup Series. I think it's going to carry over.
Corey LaJoy?
Bent from the Xfinity race, so I don't want any pieces of him. Ty Dillon doesn't do anything for me. Harrison Burton, I have no idea.
If you're paying anything low, like LaJoy would be the only one that for a GPP I would even think about.
I don't hate Harrison Burton necessarily.
I did say last week on the podcast that if he qualified 10th, that he would be a GPP play.
And he finished 12th.
He went out and qualified 10th. Like, I nailed that 31.
Yeah, 31 points and 4 fastest laps.
Yeah, I mean he was good, but then again, it is the Wood Brothers like home track. And when I say home track, Wood Brothers Garage is literally 5 miles down the road from Martinsville Speedway. Yeah. Like you have to pass it to get there. It's like
Hendrick. And they're like, you know, a satellite team for Penske.
Yeah. So if we like the Penske cars, why wouldn't we like a Wood Brothers car?
I have a question. Is it Harrison Burton's birthday Sunday?
I will laugh hysterically if it is.
If it is, oh God, then we all have to play him.
No, he just turned 22 in October.
22? Damn, I'm old.
Yeah, they're babies. There's some babies in the Cup Series.
Jeez.
I mean, Ty Gibbs is like 19. So
okay, I do like the Harrison Burton.
But I'm just saying, there's like 3 dudes that we feel confident in.
If we are talking about the birthday narrative,
does someone have a birthday?
Harrison Burton finished 28th after starting 23rd on his birthday at the Roval.
There you go. He was the guy who struck out the Golden Sombrero on his birthday in the MLB right there.
I mean, okay, but he's also not a road racer, so give him a little break, I guess. I don't know. I like Haley. I do like Cole Custer. He's in this price range, too. Sure. Not great. I'm throwing up a little bit in my mouth.
Todd Father, let's go.
But
yeah, let's sell me on the Todd Father right now, guys.
Todd Father. Am I going to talk you out of him?
Why would I talk you out of him? There's no reason to talk you out of
Todd. Don't talk me out of him. Talk me into him. Sorry.
Why do you need to be talked into him?
Like,
he just put up 36. Not, he just put up a top 15 in Martinsville.
Okay, I'm sorry. Not me. The people listening. Talk them into it.
Well, he was good here in the spring. He's been pretty decent on the short flags this year, I feel.
Yes.
Yes. That's, I can tell you exactly how good he's been here.
Because the only reason I'm playing him this week is because he's...
He only finished 25th in New Hampshire, it looks like.
Oh, yeah.
By the way...
22nd at...
Ian Cole Custer have the exact same average finish over 9 short flat tracks this year.
I thought you were going to say they had the exact same birthday.
And it's Sunday.
I don't know, but I swear to God, if it's Todd Gilliland's birthday, it's going to be hilarious.
Now we're just going to sit here for the next half an hour
and look at just trying to find somebody with a birthday this weekend.
No, he was born in May.
The last podcast of the year is always the funnest one.
I mean, it's loose. We got to let it all hang out, right? Like,
yeah, we have balls to the wall. Literally.
Custer's, his birthday narrative doesn't come into play because it's in the off season. Congratulations, you were born in one of the 10 weeks where there's not a NASCAR event happening. Mac in the middle of the no, I'm perfectly fine with the Todd Father. He's 5,100. That's insulting. He's going to be very popular in cash.
Yeah.
Like, very popular, because even... So let's start building from the bottom up. If we go Todd Gilliland, right, which we're all sold on, if we're building like a cash game lineup here.
He's in my GPP.
Todd Gilliland, Justin Haley for two cheap dudes. Right?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Kevin Harvick.
Oh, I found a birthday boy.
No way.
Oh, really?
Who is it? Please be Smithley.
He's born November 7th, so the day after the race.
Okay.
Bring back Cody Ware season.
Oh, jeez. Jesus. Even Ty Gibbs commented himself, Jesus thinks that's...
What did you Google to find that so quickly? I want to know. Okay, Malin has some crazy super... I think I just cussed, sorry. Some super Google skills.
JC's website has a list of birthdays for every month. And November 6th, which is when the race will be, is like Brian Reffner, Clay Rogers, Rodney Orr. But then... Just go to the next day, and Cody Ware is sitting on November 7th.
Okay, so I've got, if we're building like a cash build here, I've got Gilliland, Haley, Harvick, Bell, Chastain, and I have $8,900 left, which gets me Reddick, Suarez, Briscoe, Bowman, Cindric, Allmendinger.
It's Reddick.
Yeah, it's Reddick. I love the lineups I've been working on, I always end up at that 8,900 spot too, no matter who I mix and match.
Yeah, I somehow, like, I mix and match and somehow wind up right in the middle of the 8,000 range.
But I fixed it, and I'll tell you how.
I'm guessing you put Buescher in there?
I did not. Here's my GPP lineup for this weekend. Pre-qualifying. I'll still play it, though. I always do. A couple of them, actually, majority of them at least.
What did the Martinsville one do?
Logano? Oh, the Martinsville one? Austin Dillon crashed out.
Oh, right. That was a... Yeah.
Other than that, the rest of them did great. I just didn't have enough points from that empty spot. Yeah. Joey Logano, Ryan Blaney, Briscoe, Kyle Larson, Keselowski, and the Todd Father. Boom. There's my final GPP lineup of the year, sadly.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to make a lineup just because we don't know where everyone's starting.
Yeah, I'm just doing it for fun. Based on what we're talking about. I'm still going to plug it in, though. Why not?
All right.
It's the last race of the year.
I don't know. Is there any other strategies that we may have wanted to touch on? Contest selection? They're not great.
They're not great.
The final race. I don't know. It is the last podcast for like the next 12 weeks, though.
Yeah. So the Cup Series race is 312 laps. So there's a decent amount of laps led points to go after. There's a decent amount of fastest laps points to go after. Passing can happen. There's going to be some decent chances for passing, especially on restarts. You're going to see guys grab 6-7 spots on restarts because they'll just dive way down at the bottom of the dog leg. And I don't know if we'll see anybody try Ross Chastain move at the end of the race or not in turns 3 and 4 at Phoenix. I've seen guys pull it off in the video game this week, but
I feel like it would need overtime or something. If it's too long of a green flag run, I don't think anyone's going to bother.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to do it until, like, the very last lap.
Yeah. Like, why would you do it five laps before the end?
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of my argument for, like, why would you ban it? Because it's only going to happen under very specific circumstances.
Right? I told us, like, a sub and I were talking in the NASCAR Discord, like, after it happened on Sunday. And he's like, well, everyone's just going to start doing it now. And I'm like, well, what if the leader just does it first? And, like, they just put their car on the wall just to, like, really just throw it into fifth gear and just go wide open.
By the way, apparently if the race had gone, some Twitter account ran the analytics that if Martinsville had gone green the entire time and they didn't have to pit, right, because they have, I don't know, just they refuel or don't need to refuel or whatever, and Chastain had done that move every single lap, he would have finished 50 laps ahead of Christopher Bell, who won the race. And then he would have finished 51 laps ahead of Larson and Hamlin.
So, I've been trying to build a lineup with Corey LaJoie, and I can honestly say, after looking up his resume here, do not do it.
Yeah, I was just looking at it earlier. I mentioned him, and I'm like, I
can't. He doesn't have a single top 25 finish. He got into an accident in the spring. He hasn't finished four races here, and the driver rating is just abhorrent.
Yeah, however, he's the most likely to have a car that says me on it, which is great.
Yeah, well, he's a very likable lad.
Yeah.
Yes.
Me with a Cougar.
And he gets a new teammate next year, so congrats to him.
I don't know. I could do, like, a lineup with Bell, Larson, Buescher, Gilliland, Hamlin. And then I have my pick of the litter of Austin Dillon, Bubba Wallace, Almirola, Kislowski, and
That's a good pick right there. I
mean, I'd go Kislowski for leverage or Almirola for
consistency. Yeah, you could go either way. All right. There's your winning lineup.
There you go. Three lineups, three winners.
Well, I'll say this. I just want to thank everybody for listening throughout the year. Especially the last couple weeks. I know once it's the playoff season, we're entering NFL season. It's NASCAR DFS does kind of lose some of its traction from the spring and the summer. So if you stuck with us throughout the whole year, thank you. If you're new and just wanted to get our takes on the Ross Chastain move, thanks for listening.
There were plenty. Yeah.
It doesn't even feel like we need to, like, sign off or anything, because, like, time's going to go by in a snap and we'll be previewing the clash at the Coliseum in 10, 11 weeks, and then we'll have Daytona lined up shortly thereafter. So thanks, everybody, for joining us in the Discord and listening along all season long.
Don't forget, though, there are still a few races for F1. I will still be covering DFS.
Why does it matter?
It doesn't matter, there are contests, and there are chances to win money.
He ruined my button push.
That should be another button. So there's a few races left, right? Obviously, everything in the season has been decided. The champion is Max Verstappen.
Are they even trying, Matt?
Constructor. What?
Are they even trying?
I'm pretty sure Verstappen is. I mean,
so I don't.
He also just set the single season record for most wins in a season in F1.
Right. But that's my problem with it, is, like, what he's doing is just so amazing that I can't appreciate it, because I go into every Sunday like, yeah, Max Verstappen's probably going to win. He's already won the F1 championship. There's no drama. I don't know how Drive to Survive is going to, like, build this into a dramatic season, because he just wins every single race.
Oh, there's plenty to talk about in Drive to Survive. Like, there's teams changing. There's plenty of drivers changing spots. That's what it's all going to be, right? Like, you've got plenty of drivers swapping spots. You've got Haas still in disarray. You've got the whole who the heck was the driver that sued to get out of like McLaren said that he agreed to the deal and then he didn't and whatever. There's plenty of drama. They don't even have to cover Verstappen.
How many different drivers have they had that won a race this year?
So Verstappen's won.
Leclerc's won.
Hamilton win one?
Hamilton Perez. Is not winning.
He hasn't?
No. That's a storyline that's continuing, is that Hamilton needs to win.
He's the Ryan Blaney of F1.
He needs a win to keep his streak going.
Are we looking at just like four or five drivers that won a race?
One. I'm pretty sure Sainz is one.
Perez, yeah, so both Ferrari and Red Bull drivers have won.
Yeah, those are the only ones.
That's boring.
I mean, it's not if you pay attention to how they got there and whether Ferrari's going to blow up each week. Because that's a real chance of happening.
Yeah, but like even the Ferrari like shooting themselves in the foot, like that narrative was fun for a while, and then I got tired of that one too.
Let's see. So we can get Verstappen's definitely not plus odds. I was hoping he was going to be for Brazil, but
is he ever plus odds anymore?
What?
Is he ever plus odds anymore?
He was at COTA. If you got him on like Wednesday of COTA week, he was plus odds, and I was like, that's a
on bet. Wednesday. By Friday, he was.
No, actually, he was still plus odds by Friday. Just less. Like, he was plus 105 or something. And on Wednesday, he was, like, plus 230. But no, he's not. And Leclerc is 5-1 to win in Brazil, and Verstappen's 4-9. So like,
is DK going to do Indy Series next year?
I did betting pieces for Indy.
But DK should do that. No, Indy Series is a little more competitive.
I think we should just wrap it up. We've derailed off NASCAR.
Hold on.
I contributed.
I was waiting for that drop the whole dang hour, man. Like,
I saved it till the end.
So thank you, folks, for reading and listening and paying attention to NASCAR coverage this year. We will be back next year. There's going to be some stuff in the works, hopefully. Yeah, the Clash is, I believe it's like February 5th, if I'm not mistaken. And then it's the Super Bowl, and then it's the Daytona 500 on February 16th. Or 19th, I guess it's the 19th. Yeah, Daytona 500, February 19th. And then we're off and running, and there's only one off week again next year for 36 points paying races.
Great.
Well, it's an all-star race at North Wilkesboro, which is going to be sweet. Chicago road course. Don't get your hopes up. That thing's going to suck. Yeah. So we'll keep rolling in about 12 weeks.
All right. Best of luck to you, Matt and Ed, for Phoenix, and best of luck to the FA Nation.
See you guys next year.